The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1, it pleased Daniel to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, I want to preach this morning on a message Lord kind of laid on my heart this week, early in the week, and just developing it in my mind and making some notes and then put the message together. But I just want to challenge you, Sunday morning crowd, to be the one. Be the one. And you'll understand it as we get into the message. Lord, would you help us today? I pray you'll bless the message. I pray, God, you give me clarity of thought, give me strength. And Lord, I pray that you will use the message to challenge our hearts. And Lord, in a messed up world today, it'd be very easy for us to be the one that stands up and stands out. So I pray that the message will be a challenge and a help to all of us here today. I pray we'll make right decisions for you. I pray if someone's lost without Christ that today they'll be saved. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. 2020 has certainly been a year like we've never seen before, certainly in my nearly 46 years of life. We've been wearing masks in public places since the first week in July. I'm kind of wondering when the governor's going to turn loose of that thought. Some states already have. But before this year, at least here in the United States, at least here in the heartland, if you saw someone wearing a mask in public, you knew that they either had some sort of a weakened immune system or they were from another country. And I'm not trying to be funny, I'm certainly not being stereotypical, but the Asian countries have worn masks for years and years. Of course, that's where the coronavirus came from, and they've dealt with some of these issues in the past. But when you see some of them in some of the larger airports, they've been smarter than us. They've worn those masks for years and years, and now it's like commonplace, you know. All of us are wearing those masks out in public. Since February, we haven't lived a day without hearing about or at least thinking about coronavirus. Won't you be glad when that thought is long gone? Probably around November 4th. The streets in some of our liberal cities are filled with protest and violence. Many Democrats are working to provoke a race war. Good is being called evil and evil is being called good. We've traded light for darkness. Still, in some places, churches are not allowed to practice their First Amendment right to peaceably assemble and to exercise their God-given right to worship Him. And because of the way that 2020 has played out, you think about it, if you look around, people are generally angry, they're confused, they're fearful, they're skeptical, they're mean, they're discouraged, they're backslidden, they're lethargic, they're rebellious. And even much ungodliness and wickedness prevails in our society today. As I thought about our situation in 2020, I was reminded of the prophet Daniel. Daniel was living in somewhat similar circumstances as you and I today. God had allowed the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar to conquer Judah, which was the southern kingdom of Israel. Israel was living in sin and idolatry, and they wouldn't repent. And they wouldn't get right with God, and God warned them, and they still wouldn't get right. And so God allowed the Babylonians to come in and to conquer them. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah, he took many captives back to Babylon. Babylon is where modern-day Iraq sits today. The prophet Daniel, the book that we're reading here, Daniel, was one of those captives. So here's the situation that Daniel faced. I want you to see it if you'll turn to chapter number Daniel chapter number 1 with me. Here's the situation that Daniel faced. First of all, I want you to know that Daniel was stolen from his homeland. He was stolen from his homeland. Look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All right, so the first thing we see is when another country came in and conquered Daniel's country, if you will, they took Daniel captive. It would be like this morning, someone coming in here, some army, and taking you and I and taking us off to a foreign land and taking all the vessels of the house of God. Not only that, it gets worse with Daniel, because when he got to Babylon, there was a really good chance that Daniel was made a eunuch, meaning he would never be able to produce a family for himself. Notice it there in Daniel 1 and verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs. And there in the Babylonian Empire, oftentimes the slaves, the people that they would capture and make slaves, they would also make them eunuchs where they could not reproduce. So Daniel was taken from his homeland, taken from his family, probably a teenager when he was taken from his family, made physically to where he could never produce a child. He was forced to live in a society that was filled with idols, but a society that denied the one true and living God. Look at chapter number 3. You know this story. In chapter number 3, while you're turning there, let me read you chapter 1 again. The Bible said in verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, Nebuchadnezzar's hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, little g, God. Nebuchadnezzar was a godless king. He did not worship the God of heaven. Verse number 1 in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the provinces of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains. Look on down to verse number 4. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And you know the story there about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so Daniel now is in this godless, this idolatrous society. Nebuchadnezzar makes a 90-foot tall statue. If you want to know how far 90 feet is, the outside of our two-story building right here beside us, the outside is corner would be 20 feet, right at about 20 feet tall. Nebuchadnezzar made a 90-foot tall statue and told everyone that they had to worship it. So Daniel was stolen from his homeland. He was most likely made a eunuch. He was forced to live in a society that was filled with idolatry, but denied the one true living God. Not only that, if you look at Daniel chapter number 6, he was living in a nation that banned religious freedom. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 6, the Bible says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he should be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. You know that story, but to put it in perspective, in our day and time, Daniel was living in a nation that banned, at that time, religious freedom. And we're not even touching the surface of what all negatives Daniel must have had to deal with living in that foreign land. That's why when you come to our text in chapter number 6, the most amazing and eye-opening statement is made. He was robbed from his family. He was taken to a foreign land. He was made a eunuch. He's in a pagan society. His own religious freedoms have been banned. And yet when you come to chapter 6 and verse number 3, the Bible says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Notice this. Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. In the midst of letdown and trial and persecution and all the negatives that Daniel had to face, the Bible says about Daniel, the ungodly king says about Daniel, that Daniel had an excellent spirit. You know, I know some Christians that have everything in their life going right, but they still have a poor spirit, a bad attitude. The Bible says about the apostles that followed Christ in Acts 4 and verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I mean, can they say that about us at work on Monday? Can they say, wow, I'll tell you what, their spirit, their attitude, you can tell they're walking with God. You can tell they went to church yesterday. That's what they said about Daniel. You remember what the Bible tells us in Matthew 5? It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth, therefore, good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Daniel stood out and he let his Christian spirit and his Christian light shine in a foreign land. And I want to remind you and I today as Christians that we are living in a foreign land. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You and I are strangers in a foreign land. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And my challenge to us today is this. It's just, I want us all to go out of here today and just be the one. Daniel had all the negatives, all every reason in the world to have a bad spirit and a bad attitude. But he actually rose in the ranks there in Babylon and later in the Medo-Persian Empire as we see it in Daniel chapter number 6. And for all the negatives in his life, for all the people that were against him, they could say of Daniel that Daniel had an excellent spirit. I want to give you some points this morning. I'm a little bit dizzy. I've been battling for something for a couple of weeks now, so I'm going to hang on to the pulpit, but I want you to listen, so I may not be the most exciting preacher, but I don't want you to miss these points that I have for you today, because I believe they're so important to us all. Be the one. Teenager, be the one. Adults, be the one. Let me give you these thoughts. Number one is this, and I'm going to give them to you quickly because I have several of them, but number one is this. In a society filled with angry people, be the one that is kind. In a society filled with angry people, be the one that is kind. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Friend, listen to me. Be the one out there at the grocery store that is kind. Be the one at the job that is kind. Be the one at the school that is kind. Be the one in public that is kind. I was driving through town yesterday, and I saw an old man, and I mean old farmer, and had his overalls on, had his hat and his flannel shirt, and he was sitting on the curb outside of one of the stores in downtown. And I noticed a young couple that were helping him get up. You could tell. I don't think he had fallen necessarily. I think he just was sitting there. And it looked like it was probably his family. I was ready to stop. But they had plenty of people there. And they were helping him up. And he had to kind of bounce and set back down and pull him up. And I said, well, that's what we need more of in this world today. Just genuine kindness. I was talking to someone this week at a business. And I was talking about how crazy this world's getting and how mean people are getting. And she said, yeah. She said, I was at the store the other day, and she said, I had put my stuff on the on the little conveyor belt there. And she said, I had to go get some more. I had to talk to a customer service agent at Walmart, which, if you know, that means you wait an eternity. And she said, I walked away and I came back and there was this lady who put all of her stuff in front of my stuff on the conveyor belt. And she said, ma'am, I was just waiting on customer service to come and help me. And Brother Vandenberg, you would appreciate this. He deals with this kind of craziness at Walmart all the time. And she said, I was just waiting. She said, ma'am, I was just waiting on customer service. You put all your stuff in front of me. This lady starts taking her stuff, and this the mean woman takes the other lady's stuff who was ahead of her, starts throwing her stuff across the aisle, like tomatoes and everything and that sort of stuff. And I'm telling you, folks, this world's getting meaner and meaner. This world's getting angry. And we don't have to match it. I'm saying to you, be the one. I'm saying Daniel could have had every reason in the world just to shut it down and to be angry and be upset at everyone. But he wasn't the one going in the store throwing a fit. He wasn't the one at the job talking about how bad the boss was. He wasn't the one talking negative. I'm saying in a society filled with angry people, be the one that is kind. Second is this. Be the one in a society filled with confused people. Be the one with confidence. In a society filled with confused people, what's going to happen? And how's the election going to go? And is the world going to fall apart? And are we all going to die of the virus? And we just don't know who to believe anymore. Listen, here's what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said this. There's a lot of confusion in the world. He said, but I'm confident that God's will is going to be worked out in my life. And he said later on, whether it be by life, whether it be by death, whatever it may be, I just want Christ to be magnified in my body. Let's not be one of those that walks around like they do in society today and just says, well, there's no confidence in anything. And man, you can't trust anyone. And we know we can't trust the news, right? But we don't have to live a confused life. We could be the one in the group that is confident and says, you know what? I believe God has it under control. And I believe God's will's being done. And if it all goes south tomorrow, we know the coming of the Lord is at hand. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But just so show some confidence in your life. Be the one. Let me say thirdly this. And boy, I think this is so important. And I think most of you have got it. In a society filled with fearful people, be the one that lives by faith. In a society filled with fearful people, be the one that lives by faith. Oh, we're all going to die. No, we're not all going to die. And if we are, it's because it was God's will. Well, if I go here, I can't go to. I told a friend the other day. I said, man, we've got several families that showed up to two funerals back to back, but wouldn't go to church on Sunday morning. And the funerals are more packed out than the church houses. What sense does that make? Unless it's not really about the virus. We live in fear. We're not going to make it. We're going to die. We're going to this. We're going to that. And friend, listen, that is not. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And friend, God is still in control and He's still on His throne. In a society filled with fearful people. Hey, let's be the one that lives by faith and says, you know what? I don't know. I mean, it was a little intimidating at first, this whole virus thing. Are we all going to be wiped out? How's it all going to work? But you know what? I'm just going to trust God. I said this in a message the other day. We're not talking about living recklessly. That'd be foolish, amen? Don't go lick the sole of people's shoes. But at the same time, my goodness, there are a lot of Christians. Why do we fear dying if we know we're saved? In a society filled with fearful people, be the one that lives by faith. Let me give you another one here. In a society filled with skeptical people, be the one that is certain. In a society filled with skeptical people, be the one that is certain. Well, I just don't know. I think what they're going to do is this, and I think they're going to do that. And I just think, you know, and we get into all these conversations. Why don't we just be the one that's certain? He said, what are we supposed to be certain about? Same thing Paul was. He said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, hey, I am certain. I don't know about the news. I don't know about the politics. I don't know about the virus, but I know this. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And I know if I died today, that I would go to heaven. In a society filled with skeptical people, be the one that's certain. Hey, look at Acts chapter 26. Just wake you up there a little bit. Have you turn your Bible. Acts chapter number 26. Daniel had every reason in the world to be the one that shut everybody out. He had every reason in the world to be the negative one. He had every reason in the world to be angry and upset and frustrated and depressed. But friend, listen to me. Daniel rose up in the ranks and the king set him above all of the other leaders and even thought to give him half the realm. Why? Because in a world filled with just a mess, Daniel was the one that rose above. The Bible said that Daniel had an excellent spirit within him. Let me say this out of Acts 26. In a society filled with discouraged people, be the one that is happy. You can't tell anymore if somebody's happy, mad, sad, glad, sticking their tongue out at you. Right? Everyone has a mask on. You can't see people's emotion, but I tell you this. You look long enough at people's eyes, you can see what's going on. You can tell more about what's going on in someone's eyes than you can in their smile. In a society filled with discouraged people, be the one that is happy. Walk through Walmart. Walk through Home Depot. People are just... They're discouraged, they're down, they're mad, they're upset. You're walking the wrong way. You got too close. You're endangering me. And they're down and they're out and they won't look at you. Hey, why don't we as Christians just decide, to be the one, in a world full of discouraged people, be the one that is happy. In Acts 26 there, the Apostle Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel. And look at what he tells the king that basically had him arrested. Acts 26 and verse number 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. He didn't say, well, God, I'll tell you what, I was waiting for my turn. Now, let me just tell you what I think about this job. And I'll tell you what I think about that school teacher. And let me tell you what I think. Get me a manager out here right now. I'm going to tell you what I think about that. And why did they go in line first? And why did they get to do that? And they don't have a mask on. And why are you making me put this mask on? Hey, dummy, it's been 7 months. It's not that hard now just to do it because just show respect for authority. I think it's silly. I think those paper masks don't work. That's all I wear. But it's what they're asking us to do. Why be the rebel as a Christian? Well, bless God. Nobody's ever... It's not like they're telling you to throw your Bible away. But yet we get right in line with a society that's angry about everything. And wants to argue about everything. And is mad. I'm not telling you wear a mask if you have breathing trouble. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to get into a medical conversation. I'm just saying, in a world filled with discouraged people, let's be the happy one. Let's be the one pushing the cart singing. Let's be the one whistling. Let's be the, how you doing today? Can I get that off the top shelf for you? Can I help you with that? Just be the one that's different. Be very easy just to fall in line. Everybody's down and out, discouraged, angry, mad, they're overly cautious, skeptical. You want to clear a room, just yawn. In a society filled with discouraged people, be the one that's happy. Let me say this. Let me get to a couple of Christian thoughts here. In a society filled with lethargic Christians, be the one with some zeal. In a world filled, in a society, in churches filled with lethargic Christians, be the one with zeal. I was meeting with Brother Greg on Wednesday night. He's our bus director, and we have a lot to work out, and we had to meet after church for a long time to talk about our what our policy is going to be. I mean, they on the buses, they have to, we're going to have them re-sign permission forms like they were first riding our bus. They have to sign a coronavirus form. They have to have their temperature taken. Workers have to have their temperatures taken. We're going to keep those kids safe. They're on a little tin can for an hour or two. We're going to do what we can to keep them safe, and not only keep them safe, but look like we're keeping them safe when they're riding through town. There's a lot of stuff to work out there. But at the end of the meeting, I told Brother Greg, I said, now, Brother Greg, here's the thing. And he agreed with me. I said, I know we've got policies. I know we've got rules. I know you've got to go to the meeting and say, don't take your mask off here, and don't do this without, and don't pass this around. I know you've got to do that. But I said, Brother Greg, at the end of that meeting, this is an exciting thing to get back in the bus ministry and get it started again. I don't want it to be, oh, hey, we're going to do it, but here are the masks, and you better bless God, follow the rules. And he agreed with me. Friend, listen, I said, we've got some, I said, Brother Trent is excited about getting back, going with his bus. I said, my son is fired up about getting back. Our teenagers that work the bus routes, they're excited about it. And listen, be the one that in a world full of lethargic Christians. He said, preacher, are there really that many lethargic Christians? Come preach on a Sunday morning. Yeah, there are. In a world filled with lethargic Christians, why don't you just be the one? We have people here today that have guests with them. They've got a zeal for the Lord. Paul told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 2, you know what I love about preaching when I'm dizzy? It's a good heart check. It's a good stress test. Funk. If that happens, Trent, just you get up here and finish if you can read my writing. It happened one day to one of my good friends, Brother David Webb. He was sitting in his chair and had some blood pressure issues, and he collapsed. Some men in his church had to take him out. They were just trying to get his blood pressure. That's why I hate medicine. They get you all out of whack. They were just trying to get his blood pressure under control. It happened to Brother Jeff Fugit a few weeks ago preaching, and he had vertigo and had to stop his message and ask his oldest son to come and help him get off of the platform. So it happens from time to time. I don't plan on doing that in the next few minutes. I just don't feel 100% today. But in a world filled with lethargic Christians, be the one with zeal. Here's what Paul told the church at Corinth. He said, in your zeal, in 2 Corinthians 9, 2, your zeal hath provoked very many. You know your laziness can too, though. You know what proves you're a young man with some leadership is you can get in a group of lazy people and motivate them to do something. You know what shows you have zero leadership as a young man? Is you have zeal, you want to do something, but you get in a group of lazy people and become lazy. In a society filled with lethargic Christians, hey, be the one with zeal. Not only that, in a society filled with backslidden Christians, be the one who is faithful and dependable. Let me stress it. In a society filled with backslidden Christians, be the one who is faithful and dependable. In Daniel 6, the Bible says about Daniel in our text that, that for as much as he was faithful, he was faithful. I learned several years ago, and I don't like it when folks are not in church, and I don't like it when folks quit church, get out of church, or backslide. I know when folks leave a church for the wrong reason, it does not go well with their children. I could stand up here and give you a list today on that one. But people quit church, people backslide and don't go to another church. And I just learned a long time ago reading in the life of Moses and the children of Israel, you go with what you got. I'm not an old man, but I've been doing it a long time now, pastoring 20 years here. And I've gotten to that place where it's like, if you want to be here, fine. If you don't, that's your business. I'm not begging people to be back in church. I want to encourage them to be. It's the right place to be. And sometimes when we're a little backslidden, we need that. We need that push, that shove. That, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. We need that help, yes. But I'm not babysitting someone who claims to be saved for 30 years. And for as many years as someone's been in church, you cannot get the person ever to be faithful. Something's wrong that a pastor can't fix. Only God can fix that. And I'm saying to you, in a society filled with backslidden Christians, why don't you just decide to be the one that is faithful and dependable? Let me give you three more and we'll be done right on time. Next one is this. I'm giving you 10. The next one is this, number 8. in a society filled with unrighteousness. Be the one who lives a clean, holy, Christ-honoring life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I'm not going to preach the Sunday school lesson that I gave in the young adult class this morning, but we're talking about making choices. And today's lesson was on make the choice to be real. Make the choice to be genuine. In independent Baptist churches, too often we focus on the activities and the appearance. We have buses, we have soul winning, we baptize every week, and all the guys look like a cookie cutter of the preacher, and all the girls have those dresses that go down below the knee, and we don't focus on that. Here we focus on your heart, and you ought to serve, and you ought to dress right, yes, but what happens in a lot of fundamental independent Baptist churches is it becomes all about the activities and the appearance, but what it needs to be is about a relationship. Not just salvation, but a genuine desire to please God and live for Him and learn of Him and grow in the Lord. And if you're doing those things, the activities and appearances, they'll take care of themselves. The Lord told that to the Pharisees. He said, you cleanse the inside of the plate, the outside will be clean also. So I'm saying to you as a Christian today, I gave him the example of a fellow I heard about recently. Who's not saved needs to be saved. And we shouldn't use hypocrites in a church as an excuse not to be saved. We all realize that. But then again, there shouldn't be hypocrites sitting in church. This fellow needs to be saved. And he said, you know, I know I need to be saved. He said, but, and he mentioned the name of his coworker who goes to church every week, who I happen to know not just goes to church every week, but does some things in the church to stand up and kind of lead spiritually. We're not talking about our church. We're talking about another church. And the man that needs to be saved said this. He said, I know I need to be saved. I know a person shouldn't be my excuse and not be saved and not go to church. He said, but, oh, so-and-so works with me every day. He goes to church every week, serves in his church, and tells the filthiest jokes of anybody on our job. That's wicked. It's wicked. The Bible says you're trampling underfoot the Son of God. In a society, in churches filled with unrighteousness. Why don't you just decide today to be the one who is real? The one who lives a clean, holy, Christ-honoring life. We give the next one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want you to get this, and I want you to get the next two for sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen, in a society filled with darkness, be the one that still shares the light. In a society filled with darkness, guess who said amen right there? Trent and Brother Caleb, the two people that were out soul winning yesterday. I mentioned this to my Sunday school class earlier. Soul winning is not what we do, it's who we are. I'm going to shock you, but door-to-door soul winning is not easy, and you don't see a lot of fruit from it. I mean fruit that remains. But we do it because we need to do everything possible to get the gospel out. Let me tell you where you're going to do your best soul winning. People you sit with at school every single day. People you work with every single day. Your family that you talk to all of the time. They're the ones you're going to be praying with. They're the ones that are going to look to you as the Christian that goes to church on Sunday and keeps a positive attitude during the week and has a smile on their face and is singing songs they don't know because they're godly songs. There's your opportunities to be witnesses for Christ. I'm just saying to you, in a society filled with darkness, be the one that still shares the light. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 there. Look at verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the god of this world, that's little g, that's the devil, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know what you do when it comes to witnessing to someone about Christ? You're making yourself a servant to them. You go knock on a door, you're making yourself a servant to them. They're going to treat you any way they want to treat you. You talk to someone at work or at play about something spiritual, and you become a servant to them, because you could talk about the Cowboys and you could talk about the grandkids, but when you start talking about eternal things, I'm telling you, the devil's going to get right in the middle of that conversation. Amen. Remember one day knocking doors out here on 2965 out there, that one stretch of houses that go out beyond the bus barn, and got on around the corner there to a little farmhouse, and I was by myself. I don't know if Joshua was a little boy, maybe he was with me. Not often by myself, but sometimes when you partner people up, it's just the way it works out. And I went to this house, and this lady was there. We were out in the yard talking, and she's a Methodist, and it was good conversation, friendly conversation. And yeah, my family's been Methodist forever, and yeah, we've been in Wills Point forever. And I said, well, before I leave, let me ask you a question, most important question you're ever going to hear. If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure that you're safe? And I'm telling you what, that friendly conversation went to anger. Friendly conversation, we're just talking. Now, we as Christians are thinking, what's mean about that? You're going to go to heaven or hell one day. I'm trying to help you. Amen. She got angry. That is none of your business. I said, ma'am, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'll just leave this with you. I just wanted to ask. I'm just concerned because one day we're going to one or two places. That's none of your business. I'm going to ask you to leave. But listen, let's not let one or two stop us from sharing the gospel light in a world filled with darkness. If our gospel be hid, I'm saved. Does anybody know it? I'm a born-again child of God. I got a bumper sticker that says it. Does anybody at your job know you're saved? Well, they know not cuss when I mean, do they know you're a born-again Christian? You ever shared your testimony with them? Because if our gospel be hid, the problem is not hiding. I believe you. If you tell me you're a Christian, I believe you. Most of you. But the problem is, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In a society filled with darkness, be the one that still shares the light. Let me give you the last one. In a society headed for hell, be sure that you're one of the ones headed for heaven. In a society headed for hell, be sure that you are one of the ones headed for heaven. I just use this common verse, John 3:16, because it fits. For God so loved the world. In fact, the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's the individual choice, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I really do believe this world's coming to an end quick. You hear this, I know, every election. And I know 4 years ago we were shouting the same thing. If Hillary gets it, it's over with for this country. She's going to sell us out to every country there is. And by the grace of God, we got Trump. And I'm not a Trump fan. I'm not on a Trump train. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he acts. He acts like an elementary kid. I've never stood up in this pulpit and said, Trump. But I tell you what, when it comes to what he stands for, whether he stands for it in his heart or not, he stands for it with a pen. When it comes to what he stands for, you better believe that I'd rather have Trump than the next guy. And if you don't see what's coming down the track right now in this country, I mean, if the Democrats nominated a female, it would be great. Yeah! It's a lady to replace a lady. Yes. The Republicans do it, and they're going to rip her up. I've only seen the picture, so I'm just assuming she's adopted a couple of black children. a white Supreme Court justice or nominee, a female, has several kids of her own. Looks like she probably has adopted a couple of black kids. If the Democrats had that, they would go, this is what we need. We need equality. Black lives matter. White lives matter. Female empowerment. They would be praising this. But because of her conservative values, the Democrats wouldn't let you treat a woman in a negative way. But they are about to kill this woman. That's sad. You ought to be praising a lady who has done the things that she's done. And I'm not trying to get political on you. I'm just telling you, this place is getting ugly fast. Aren't you glad the rapture is going to take place at some point? Maybe it's in your lifetime. Maybe it's in my lifetime. You know what we've learned here recently? Not everybody lives to old age. I'm 40, nearly 46, and I used to say I don't feel as old. Now I think I'm starting to feel older than my age. But friend, listen to me. I get to think about 46, and I think, I probably lived half of my life, probably without a doubt, half of my life. You ever think about that? I'm dumb, but do you ever think about that? We always think, well, when is the rapture going to take place? Well, look at how close many of us are to going home to be with the Lord anyways. If we just go by natural age, you'd say, well, I know no one's living to be 110. Does that scare you? It shouldn't. It shouldn't. No, we don't want to leave family and friends, but death shouldn't scare you if you're a truly born again, 100% certain that you're saved Christian. So I just want to say to you, in the society headed for hell, be sure that you're one of the ones headed for heaven. And it's not because you were chosen. It's because you chose Christ. He wants the world to be saved, but it's a whosoever will salvation. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. I pray that today would be the day you get it settled. You need to know that you know that you know that you're saved. Will you choose to be the one today that stands out in all those areas? Or are we going to just be comfortable just being a part of the crowd? Friend, listen, we're all flesh, right? And there are some days I just blend in with the crowd. I'm as upset as anyone else. I'm as tired as anyone else. I'm as frustrated with the long lines as anyone else. I get that. But I hope that this week the Spirit of God convicts you and says, psst, psst, psst. Is it really that bad? Is it worth ruining your testimony? Is it worth not being able to leave them a track because of the way you act to them before you leave? I hope the Spirit of God just whispers to me too. Me too. Psst, hey, be the one. Be the one. Man, people are so mad in this store today. Good grief. People seem so angry. Why are they fighting over the dumbest stuff? And I hope the Spirit of God says, hey, you remember what preacher preached on Sunday morning? Like Daniel. He's in a foreign land, had a bunch of negative things happen in his life, but yet they said an excellent spirit was in him, and then nearly made him the leader of the whole realm right below the king. Let's ask God to help us be the one. It said there in our text, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him.